going to make a start on all the festival. The pop world, is it pro-music, anti-music? Is there anything to be said for all these youngsters spending hours listening to what they do? Are you optimistic, pessimistic?
I'm optimistic. I mean, I must say, it worries me that it's listened to mindlessly sometimes.
Yes.
On the other hand, I know that a lot of it is not mindless. I mean, that a lot of what I myself cannot respond to contains a lot of feeling, a lot of thought, a lot of sensibility. Mm. And I feel more encouraged by it than depressed by it. I mean, the manic fringe of drugs that I, of course, I abhor. But I must say, I don't feel in any sense threatened. I welcome it to a certain degree. The music that I've heard and been fascinated by, I mean, some of the lyrics and things, I must say, it's almost more interesting to me than what I myself sometimes do.
Yes. Can I say, it's often been said there are only two types of music. In actual fact, I think this is nonsense, good music and bad music.
Music, exactly.
There's good rock, there's bad rock. I must say, myself, I find, I reflect Jeffreys, there are some things I can listen to with enormous pleasure. What does interest me very much is that many of those youngsters, indeed in that orchestra of ours last year, play rock music, and my golly, at the parties afterwards, I mean, the discos we had afterwards out in the Schloss in which we were staying, it was deafening, but they can seem to take in
and
the
whole lot. And they found no discrepancy.
No,
I mean, it was perfectly possible to do that on one side and then to go and play the Britain. I mean, for me, it should be treated like that. Obviously, if it becomes a drug in itself, a means of escaping, then I resent it. But then, of course, classical music can be the same, if you like. I mean, classical music can become also, for some people, a means of escape. I mean, I personally don't want to listen to it, but I don't see it as dangerous. Unless you feel that the commercial exploitation of it to make money is a dangerous element. That, of course, we haven't touched upon that.
No. What I do find slightly worrying, however, is that with rock music, which after all is played at a disco or at a party, you don't really listen to it, you just hear it, it's there. If you apply that same approach to classical music, you can't start, you've got to listen. And I remember at Farnham Grammar School, I always used to be going on at this point, all those years ago, even though the world has changed, there is a difference between listening and hearing. And I think that is just slightly worrying.
But people do go to concerts, I mean, rock concerts, and actually listen.
Yes.
I mean, I know people, I mean, intelligent people who, perfectly intelligent people who go as though they were going to a concert, but the same sort of degree of commitment to it. Obviously, there is a physical, sensual element because of the corporate experience, you know, but I mean, in a way, I've implied, I think that element should be present in a normal concert hall as well. I mean, it's just a matter of degree and the sort of corporate feeling, but it doesn't really, perhaps it ought to worry me more than it does.
Yes. Oh, the physical thing I can find very strongly in a concert of classical music. My golly, sometimes I can become a damn nuisance to everybody all around me because I can't sit still for that very reason.
No, but music does have that physical side to it, and I can understand why people respond to that.
Yes, yes. Anyone else?
You said that there was a dearth of early singers, the same way there is a Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
Could you elaborate? A new soprano always seems to be shooting into the bone. Is it on the male side of the
thing? There aren't that number of new sopranos. I mean, there. I can think of one as a young American called Aprile Milo, who has just made considerable impact, I gather, in Italy. But she's really the only person I know at the moment, and there's another young American, who can actually approach singing the heavier Verdi soprano roles with any degree of the sort of quality that you'd expect from, say, Tebaldi, or even lately from Mafrani, who never really was any way of that nature.
No.
I mean, we lack the upper limit. I mean, there are traviatas, people who can sing the lighter roles, that's absolutely true. There are precisely two, or well, maybe three, I mean, the problem one of them is very ill, people who can actually approach the heavy Verdi tenor roles, and there are about two very great Verdi baritones at the moment. And of the younger generation, I don't know anyone who has that weight of voice, you know? It is a genuine problem. It's something to do with voices. They are less weighty than they were. And both Verdi and Wagner wrote, as you know, for extremes, tessitura-wise, and also in terms of the weight of the voice. And whether it's the way voices are being trained today, whether it's the way that certain voices are being used up too quickly, I mean, and singing these roles too early, whatever it is, we're actually running out of them more quickly than they arrive. And, I mean, Wagner, certainly, you know that to be the case. I mean, that's always been a problem, mind you. But we've never had quite the same problem with Verdi before, and it worries me a lot, because it means, therefore, the 19th century repertory is becoming very difficult to sing. Singers are becoming interested in doing lots of things, and we are now producing wonderful singers in terms of the Baroque, Mozart. I mean, we're producing a different race. But it is a worry.
What is worrying, too, if I can say so, Jeff, because of the jet plane, singers, international singers, take on almost too much, use the voice up too soon. And a lovely case in point, if you remember, what you will probably have been repetitor to at some time or other, do you remember Linda Esther Gray?
Yes, indeed.
Who had a wonderful voice, but burnt it out far too quickly.
Yes, the reasons, who knows why? I mean, in certain cases, of course, external factors step in. I don't know in Linda's case precisely what happened. But I'm thinking really of the education of the singer and the way they... and what voices, natural voices seem to be happening.
Mm.
Whether it's to do with the diet, who knows. But I mean, these natural big voices are not... I mean, I listen to many on audition, and I get rows and rows of wonderful lyric singers, and very, very few of the dramatic, either dramatic Italian or dramatic violin school. It's very, very rare. And when you come across them, of course, they are snapped up. They appear and disappear within seconds.
They've won it very early in the career.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. He has been suffering from a form of leukemia and has been treated apparently successfully for it, and is going to, I hope, appear next season at Covent Garden. We've actually booked him for something very heavy indeed, Carnia in Pagliacci. But, you know, the situation is so desperate that when one person drops out, you find the opera houses scrambling to find enough tenors to actually sing these roles. Very depressing.
Could I add a rather philistine question? What are your views on singing operas, written continental operas, in English, as opposed to in the language there, it seemed to be generally assumed by the musical world that if you would have an opera sung in the language you know, say in English in that case, you can follow the words, but you can't. You can't follow the words in a lot of singing in English, in my view.
I think English is a very difficult language to understand. Mm. So, it's to do with the nature of our consonants and our diphthongs. Mm. We have a lot of diphthongs in the language, and the consonants are not actually quite hard enough sometimes to be... I mean, German is a much clearer language to sing because the vowel sounds are much purer, the consonants are much harder. Italian opera is not written in quite the same way. Italian opera never uses the word in quite the same way as the Germans do. I feel that you've got to understand what opera is about, and if that means, if some people think that's helped by singing it in English, it doesn't worry me. I mean, Wozzeck has been done in English at Covent Garden for a long time, because under the assumption that you could actually understand it better in English. I couldn't agree with you more. I disagree with that. I don't think you can understand English better. Even though the situation has been revolutionized there by these surtitles, which have caused a lot of controversy, but as far as I'm concerned, are the real answer. I performed The Marriage of Figaro in San Francisco with these funny surtitles. Very well done, I must say. And for the first time in my experience, conducting Mozart in Italian, which I think is the only way to do it, I loathe it in English, it doesn't seem to fit well, I had an audience laughing at what is a comedy. I mean, in the middle of an ensemble, there'd be guffaws of laughter behind me because they'd understood the joke. I mean, I've known the joke for years, but suddenly they knew what was happening. And I don't suppose if it had been sung in English, they'd have laughed either. I couldn't agree with you more. But, I mean, I think the future now lies in surtitles. You may be interested to know that from this last Monday, every performance in Covent Garden will have surtitles for a year. We are doing an experiment for this year. If the public accept it, it will now be done forever. And they are going, at the end of the year, to run a questionnaire to ask people if they want to have one night without surtitles, in which case we will offer those people who really loathe it the possibility of going to one performance where it doesn't actually exist. But I think, I must say, I think it's the answer to everything. I think it's an answer to opera in English, quite frankly. I think opera in English ought to have surtitles because you don't understand it. In Germany, they've been doing that for German operas in German, putting surtitles. Amazing.
It's surtitles, I would say this at Covent Garden, Geoffrey, are fine in certain parts of the house.
Well,
if you're down there and it's up there, it's awfully difficult.
I couldn't agree with you. I mean, yes. The teething problems of so forth. I mean, yes. I do see a day, possibly, where you have also by your seat
yes,
the possibility.
Course.
I mean,
yes.
in the best of all possible yes. worlds, that would be wonderful. Yes. I mean, why not? We live in a technological yes. age. Let's use it, for yes. God's sake.
It's very interesting that Benjamin Britten, you know, who after all wrote this whole corpus of English operas and have played the world over, whenever they were played abroad, whatever, he always wanted them done in the language of the country. He yes. felt that to be very, very important.
Well, Wagner wanted that actually for Tristan, but of course I suspect that was because he wanted the work performed, and if they were prepared to perform it in Italian, he was prepared to accept it in Italian. You know,
yes.
don't you? There was actually a translation of Tristan done. It was the
yes.
And there was a threat that it would be performed,
yes.
but I suspect only that.
I've discovered this too at English National Opera, where they do everything in English. An awful lot depends on whether, if you want to hear the words, it depends on where you sit in that theatre. And I can well remember going to see their quite famous production of Rigoletto, Jonathan Miller's production. And I sat on the side of the dress circle and couldn't hear a word. And I got rather fed up because I didn't like the production very much. That's just me, that's not everybody else. And I went around and I was going to leave and I got to the back of the dress circle and could hear every single word. It's extraordinary.
I can confirm that, Alan.
You can.
I want you to sit in the front of the upper circle.
Yes.
And see beautifully. You can't hear a single word.
No, it's extraordinary.
I always go to the back of the dress circle and as far as, in spite of my age, I can hear a great deal of what
yes, it's incredible.
But you could never actually, I don't think, ever hear everything. I mean, it's
no,
very...
It's a bad language.
It is a bad language, I'm afraid.
Yes. The best seat in Covent Garden, Geoffrey, as I can tell you now, is the front row of the amphitheatre.
Yes.
I know, I used to queue for that for
absolutely.
Years. I used to lie on pavements in order to buy A50
yes.
A
it's still the best
A50 seat. And A51. Yes, I know
yes.
that very well.
Okay.
I'm very interested in the very unfortunate necessity for sponsorship, but I do think that there should be some way of people being able to sponsor, as you've suggested, small sums of money. These huge firms do it naturally for advertisement. But if only there was some way of being able to sponsor things, people with a certain amount of money, I have a great belief in what Francis Bacon said 500 years ago, money is like muck, not good except to be spread. And I do think that a great many people might be willing to give a certain amount if there was some way in which one could do it.
Well, in fact, all I can urge you is if you feel that, please say that you want to by writing to Covent Garden. We are very responsive, I mean, to that sort of thing. And I think we might be capable of thinking up some schemes whereby it was possible for you to do that and, you know, feel that you are giving some input. I mean, it's very depressing, I would have thought, though, if you gave us our money and it just disappeared into a great morass. I mean, it would be nice for you to know. It would be nice if you became involved. I think there are ways of doing that.
Yes.
I also feel, I think in the answer to when we were talking about Alan and I, there should be some way whereby recognition was given to you by that, by the government, by accepting that in giving that amount of money, you should be partly recompensed by not paying tax on the money or something. There should be some incentive given to people to do that.
Actually,
it can be done, I think.
Yes, I believe, I'm not absolutely certain, it's all being kept under dark covers at the moment. There's a new thing coming very shortly in the September called, from the Arts Council, called incentive funding. I've received lots and
yes,
lots of...
I have heard of that. I didn't know what it was.
Yes,
actually.
I've received lots of bump. It's extremely complicated. I don't completely understand it, but then I've long decided the Arts Council is very difficult to understand anyway. But there's something on the way. I'm certain it'll be given masses of publicity when it comes.
I think it is actually concerned with the small-scale subsidy.
Yes.
And I mean, I think you will... But, I mean, I still feel it's worth letting an institution like Covent Garden know that there are people prepared to do that, because they can also think, I think, a way
he's
to make it
he's talking about Covent Garden. Youth and Music also has got fun.
Yes, sorry. I mean,
you can't understand. How can we?